You never stop learning lessons from the Lord on how amazing He is and how He does what He wants to do and what He needs to do. It's interesting, if you go look at the Old Testament, we call it the teach test principle. Go look at the Old Testament, think about it. God would take His people, then He would teach them. And then He'd let them try what He taught them. If they succeeded, they moved on. If they failed, took them back, taught them again. And let He try them again. When they succeeded, He let them go. Teach test, teach test. Sometimes He does that with us too. And that's what I went and said to my friend Bradley there. That this morning He just taught me, not Bradley, the Lord, was just teaching this lesson again. I had a few concerns about, is the music the right music for this day? And especially, do you hear what I hear? I was thinking, should we can that? And when we sang that song, the Spirit of the Lord just somehow just happened. And then He teaches, and then you learn lessons from the Lord, that you just leave it in His hands because He can do it. When we can't, He does, and He does His best work. Thank You for teaching, Lord. So talking about teaching, and this wasn't part of the sermon, but it will segue into, I know you don't like that word, Andrew, it will segue into the sermon. When you look at the word, it often speaks of gardens, and it often speaks of a vineyard. And when it speaks of the vineyard, usually the image that is used, and it's, you go right throughout the Old Testament and into the New, the image of the vineyard is usually a metaphor, a word picture of God's people. Because the vineyard to this day is really important to the people in Israel. It provides for them. It's a wonderful place. It's a place where they'll often just sit and just be there and experience the fruit and experience the joy that comes from that. So God compares His people often to a vineyard. And you can read these stories. Go read Psalm 80. We're going to read in Isaiah 5 in a second. 1 Kings chapter 5. You can read it in Chronicles. You can read it in Hosea. All over, God speaks of His people as a vineyard. Unfortunately, most of the places where God speaks of His people as a vineyard, He doesn't speak of them in good terms. So read with me Isaiah chapter 5, and you're thinking, boy, that's a way to go for Christmas. So Isaiah writing, it says, I will sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up, he cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a wine press as well. And then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but, and there's your biblical but, it yielded only bad fruit. Now you dwellers in Jerusalem and people of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? And when I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad? Now I'll tell you what I'm going to do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, that which keeps it straight and up, and it will be destroyed. I will break down its wall, that which protects, and it will be trampled. And I will make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated. Briars and thorns will grow there. And I will command the clouds not to rain on it. Kimberly looks at me and she says, okay, boy, it's a bit of a scary moment. God's vineyard. God does everything that he can do. God gives everything that he should give. God provides everything for this vineyard to be the best that it can be. And time again, please go read Psalm 80 this afternoon. You'll see the same story. Just to get the feeling. Time and time again, people of Israel fail. And the vineyard just produces these horrible, sour, bad grapes. That's worthless. You can't eat them. You can't make wine with them. They're good for nothing. God expects, and they don't meet the expectation. God provides and receives nothing back. And on and on and on. Until that moment when the true vine comes into this world. That vine that has life in it. That vine that flows with living water. And in that moment, this whole picture of the vineyard changes. So read the second scripture with me. Luke 13, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Then Jesus told this story. A man planted a fig tree in his vineyard. And he came again. They plant fig trees to this day in the vineyards. Go look at the pictures of Israel. It's just one of those things that they do. You find the fig trees always in the vineyard. A man planted a fig tree in his vineyard and came again and again to see if there was any fruit on it. But he was always disappointed. Finally, he said to his gardener, I've waited 3 years. Now, it's an interesting word. Gardener in Greek is ampelurgos. Ampelonin means vine. And ampelurgos means one who tends to the vine. So the gardener who takes care of the tree, but also takes care of the vineyard. And he said to his gardener, I've waited 3 years. There hasn't been a single fig. Cut it down. It's just taking up space in the garden. And you said, but Aubrey, you said the story changes. It's a new story of hope and life, but it's the same story. The owner comes and he walks in the garden and he expects the fig tree to give fruit. 3 years it's been there. It's been cultivated, it's been fertilized, it's been pruned, it's been doing everything. But all I find on the fig tree, says the owner, is green leaves. Pretense of being alive, the pretense of having fruit. So cut it down. It's just wasting water. It's wasting fertilizer. It's wasting my time. Cut it down. And the people who listened to the story would say, why are you telling the story? We know it. We knew the ending. I didn't finish the story for you though. There are two more verses. The gardener answered, sir, give it one more chance. Leave it another year. And I'll give it special attention, plenty of fertilizer. And if we get figs next year, fine. If not, then you can cut it down. This is where the story changes. Because Jesus puts a little twist into this story that we've never seen before. And go check me on this. Through all the vineyard stories, through all the garden stories, there is always the owner. It's all we see. In this story, for the first time, there is someone else. There's a gardener. There's the first little twist. And the gardener speaks of grace. The gardener speaks of, allow me and I will bring life. The gardener speaks of, allow me. And when you allow me to work, there will be fruit. And the story, which always had a very bad ending, will have a brand new ending. But no, I'm wrong. The story doesn't just have a good ending. When the gardener comes into our lives, The story has a good beginning and a good middle and a good ending. Can you hear that, please? Because I hear so many folks when they talk to me and when I talk to them, they're always talking about the ending. One day when I get to heaven, one day when I see Jesus, then things will be amazing in my life. No! Today, the moment the gardener came into this world and he started working on your vineyard, on your tree, that was a brand new beginning. He specializes in new beginnings and second chances. He doesn't just cut the trees. He doesn't just get rid of them. He says, give me a chance. Give me another chance. One more. I want to try more fertilizer. I want to try more love. I want to try more care. Please. And when he gives that second chance and a new beginning, everything in between right to that ending that we wait for one day is brand new and filled with life and care. And second chances, and third chances, and fourth chances. For he specializes in fruit. Because that's the second little twist I want you to see in this story. Because we missed it, I think. When we read the story, do you realize that as the gardener walks with the owner through the garden, he actually has so much to be proud of because the whole garden, if you read correctly, seems to already yield fruit. 99% is done. It's only this one tree that's not yielding. He's already achieved 99%, but that's the amazing thing for this gardener. 99% is not good enough for him. He wants 100. Not one. Not one will he leave behind. Here's the sad thing. So many people live with the Old Testament vineyard image of their lives. I'm not good enough. I'll never make it. I'll never be able to bear that kind of fruit. Can I tell you something this morning? Jesus Christ, the vine, the true vine, came into this world in Christmas to change that. If only I allow him and let it happen, he will pour out so much of the blessing that changes me. For that's what he specializes in. In fruit, not in cutting down, not in judging, not in burning, but in life in abundance. I have come that you may have life in all of its abundance. Give me a chance, and I'll fertilize it, Father. I wish someone told me that when I was still a young Christian. Because the church that I grew up in, and it's amazing church, and thank God for the church, but it had this one thing wrong. It always told me I can't make it. Always told me I'm not good enough. Always told me I'm breaking God's heart. Man, and that was hard. And I was thinking, what am I doing here then? If you're telling me every Sunday I'm not good enough, when's it going to stop? Then I read the story of the gardener and I got it. He's good enough. And he will not leave me to not bring fruit because he came into the fruit so that I came into the world so that I can bear his fruit in abundance. Even through my messes, even when I don't make it, even when I look in the mirror and I think, man, you messed it up so badly, he says to the owner, give me another chance. I will take care of it, of him, of her, because I love them and I care for them. And that's why I came into the world. There's another little twist in this story. There's just this one tree. But isn't Jesus the Jesus of the ones? Two chapters from chapter 13 that we read is chapter 15, and you know Luke 15 all too well. Because Luke 15 tells the story. It starts with, there was a shepherd who had 100 sheep, and how many of them got lost? How many did he leave to go find what? He left 99 to find. And then the next little story in Luke 15 is a woman who had 10 silver coins. How many got lost? How many did she leave to go find what? And then there's a dad with two boys, and how many get lost? Actually, two. He's the God of the ones. He's the God of the ones. Because you see, the thing for Jesus is 99% for him is a failing mark. 100%. That's what he wants. That's what he wants to give his father. And he will go look for the ones one by one by one by one. And if you are the one, he will find you and he will take care of you. John 18, 9. Not one of those that the Father has given me will ever be lost. Not one. Because he is the Lord of ones. And when he finds you, he will give you fruit in abundance. Go read Galatians and read about that fruit. Who is the one? Who is the one? I am the one. And maybe if you think a little for a moment, you might come stand next to me and say, hold on, hold on. I'm the one. No, I'm the one. Because of all he puts into me and all the care he gives, I sometimes still struggle with myself when I look at my heart and I think, are you broken enough for God's people and for those who don't know the Lord? Is your heart that heart of the gardener that loves so compassionately the ones? I'm the one because sometimes I'm not sure if my eyes are gentle and kind enough to see the brokenness that God wants me to see and to care for that with hands that have been crucified in Christ Jesus so that they can become his hands. Sometimes I wonder if my ears are those ears that will hear the needs of those who need the one. And that's why I'm the one. I need to stand and allow that gardener to do what needs to be done. If there's pruning that needs to be done, then he needs to prune. Because that brings growth. If he needs to fertilize a little more, I'm good with that. Because the amazing thing is this. When I stand and say I'm the one, I don't see the axe in his hand. I see buckets full of rain of grace. I see buckets full of rain of love. I see buckets full of rain of blessing and care. For I'm the one. But he is the gardener who cares for me and who came into this world. And who knows? Who knows if I allow him to work on me? Next year, when the Father comes and he walks with the Son and he walks through my vineyard, who knows what the Father will see? He might look back on that old 2019 dry old fig tree and say, wow, look how it changed. It's going to be a good vintage in the vineyard of the Lord. Amen.